Supernatural Love is the title of our message today, and we're finishing up Romans 12. Romans 12, 14 through 21 is what we'll be looking at today. Romans 12, 14 through 21, as we'll be finishing up this wonderful chapter of Romans. Let's all stand on our feet and be in reverence to God's Word, and we'll read Romans 12, 14 through 21. The Word of God says, "Bless those who persecute, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Father, we pray for just a few moments. Thank you for your word. We pray, bless, may it go forth, touch our lives right where we're at. We'll give you the glory for it all. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Sandy and I, on our spiritual journey, as we were older in life and following the Lord, and as He was calling us into full-time vocational ministry, I was a CNC machinist for 21 years with Dana Corporation and had all these plans, and that's all right. God can change your plans. Does anybody believe that? At any time, He can change anybody's plans. Can you say amen, Jerry? There you go. He can change our plans at any time. That's God, and He has a right to do that. But on this journey, this spiritual journey, we had a lot of people that influenced us, that we, as you're hearing the call of God, as you're trying to follow Him, and there's probably none greater than Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. That was one of our heroes in the faith. And if anybody knows that story, it was in 1958 that Jim would give his life on January 6th, or January 8th, 1953, I'm sorry, that he would give his life on a beach in Ecuador. And what he did, he had a heart. When he came out of Wheaton College, he had a heart to go down for a certain people group that was in Ecuador that was called the Acas, the Aca Indians. They were known that. That name Aca actually means naked people, and that's what people outside the tribe named them, because they were just savages. They were known for being some of the most savage people in all the world. The Wananis is what they were called in the tribal people, and they had speared each other and killed each other within their own tribe, that they almost to the point of an extinction. The oil companies that were there, they would kill anybody they came in contact with. And yet this couple, along with four other guys besides Jim, had a heart to go win these people to Christ. I want you to think about that this morning. They landed on that beach that was close to that tribe. They had planned out years. They had prayed for years. And within just a few days, the tribe attacked them and killed them, speared them to death on that beach in Ecuador. Set off a chain reaction in the world. People are still being called in the ministry today because of their act of giving to the Lord. But you know what? That's not Paul Harvey's rest of the story here now. Let's don't finish there. Nate Saint was the pilot, one of the five. His sister Rachel, along with Elizabeth, which was Jim's wife, with her two-year-old daughter, Valerie, go back down to the tribe after they find their husband's murdered on that beach. Go back to the tribe, actually go into to live with them, to live with the Wananis, the Akas, and win the very people that killed their brother and their husband to the Lord. I want you to think about that this morning. That is supernatural love. That is having a heart for people, the heart of Jesus Christ. Somebody that had killed your husband, that had killed your brother, to go back and place yourself in their lives and to win the very people that had taken their lives to the Lord. That's supernatural love. And the End of the Spear, we've shown that movie here on for mission trips. And it's great if you get a chance. End of the Spear is the name of it. It's a movie to go see, and it kind of chronicles all that. Or you can get it, rent it, to do it. So I want us to think about today loving our enemies. We don't have big enemies, if we're honest. We don't have enemies like the Akas that would take our life at any time. don't have those kind of enemies that are life-threatening, but what about the people that we would call our enemies today? I hope that we can say that we don't have any, but maybe there are people that come to mind when I say that. Think about maybe it's a coworker or even a family member or a person that you would call that's hurt your feelings that you would call an enemy. We get to Romans 12, 14 through 21, and really the whole chapter of Romans 12 is a continuation of the first two verses where he says, "Brethren, I want you to do, I beseech you," and he says, "in view of God's mercies." And we talked about that in view of how Christ had laid down his life for each and every one of us that's received him, that we are to do what? Offer ourselves, our bodies up as living sacrifice unto him. And then he goes on to say, don't be conformed to the what? The world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so it's really just a continuation of this whole transformational living that we talked about last week when we were talking about healthy community and how in the church a lot of times it's easier, isn't it? Because this is our church family. We come together with a common bond, a common focus, or we should. It's easy to love one another, but then he's going to go outside these walls and we'll see that it could be a lot more difficult, and in fact that it is. He calls us to have this supernatural love, this sincerity we talked about last week, this sincere love between God's people should flow over into a sincere love for the lost world that's around us, that we live in. We're reminded of that constantly also, that we should love our community, love the people that don't know Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that here as we get on. And Paul spoke, he's spoken when we get to this. You know what he's talking about, this love, this healthy community, this supernatural love is most evident in the body of Christ, in relationships, okay? It's played out relationships. I want you to know this morning, by the authority of God's word, not my opinion, not what a man says. If Christ has not changed your relationships, you better question if Christ is there or not. When he comes in, he changes our relationships with each other. He changes the way that we act towards one another. He changes the way that we do things with one another. He's a relational God. And so Paul starts dealing with relationships. And last week, he talked about the church. And he'll actually go in and out of the church here in our verses today. But I want us to think about how this he told us about our gifts that we had and how we are to use our gifts for the betterment of the whole, that it's the edifying of the church. It's not individualism that we flaunt our gifts, but that we use it to bring glory to God. But then he told us that there's one thing that trumps gifts. And what was that? Love. Love trumps gifts. We're to love. What good are we if we're so gifted if we don't love one another? It's no good at all. And so he says love trumps gifts. And then we get to the part where he talks about this spilling over into our other world. When we go outside these walls, if you step out, you might not have ever seen it, but over the doors as you go out, the last doors, it says you are now entering your what? Your mission field. That's where we live out what we learn on Sunday morning. And Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, we go out into our mission field and we live it. How much easier is it on Sunday morning? It's easy, is it? But then when we get out into the world, it becomes very difficult sometimes, don't it? But yeah, he's called us to this supernatural love. And I want us to look at three features of supernatural to love this morning. And I want you to look at verse 14. And first, I want you to see that it causes us to speak blessings. What does verse 14 say? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now remember, and I'll constantly remind you that this is the church at what? Rome. It's the imperial city, man. Rome was. It was the greatest city of the known world at that time. It was known for conquering. It was known also for roads. It was known for bringing all this betterment, but also it was known for its paganism. And so he's writing to this group, and so you know what? They understood what persecution was. I'm afraid that we really don't understand it here, do we? We think if we're made fun of or we have hardship that we're being persecuted. They knew that it was life and limb at any time. That was the church and how it faced. You know, when we preach through Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, greatest preacher, the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, he said in Matthew 5:44, what does he say right here? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, That's Jesus commanding us to do those things. That's easy to read off, isn't it? But that's hard when somebody's all up in your business and in your face. And they don't like you. And they're persecuting you or slapping you around or they're trying to do harm to you. And yet Jesus says for us to love our enemies. We'll flesh this out on what that looks like. Supernatural love, you know what it does? It speaks blessings, not curses. And it's not just talking about bad language, although curses can be in bad language, but it's talking about calling down God's judgment upon people. See, we are to never to do that. God judges them. Aren't you glad God didn't judge you for your sin? You didn't get what you deserved? We got to be careful when we're calling God's judgment down on people. It's words that speak His judgment on others. And we're called. You know what we're called to do? We're called to be lived by Christ's name and to not speak such words, but to bring blessing, not curse. Our greatest illustration of this, when our Lord and Savior hung on the cross of Calvary, what did He say? Curse them, God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a great illustration. Again, we're called to the way of the cross, the children of the cross, children of the Master, children of the King. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always going to be this dramatic sphere of things, right? When we're just, we fit in here. No, it's not going to always be a Jim or Elizabeth Elliot. It's not even always going to be a cross. But it's going to be, how does it come out when I'm angry? Uh-oh, he's meddling now. How does it come out in my home when I get angry, when I've been hurt? The world teaches us to get back and hurt hard. How does it work when I get in an argument with my wife, or I get angry with my kids, or I get angry with a coworker? How about a 194 poker? Serious. It never fails this time of year. Yeah, was that Maggie behind you, Lee? No. Listen, never fails. Preacher's always in a hurry, okay? He may realize that. He's always in a hurry. Always in a hurry to get somewhere in that. And you pull out here and say, man, I've got 10 minutes to meet this guy in wherever. There they are. South Carolina or Florida Tag gives them away every time. You know the first thing I say? Dear Lord! Then I'm reminded, I'm to represent Christ. And Sandy would say, you're a pastor. Act like a pastor. I want to act like a pastor. I mean, I'm going to bump draft them here in just a minute. Boom, pull a number 3 on them. Listen, but it comes real. Listen, it becomes real when we're living it out and acting it out in our community. I came out this morning and found a half a beer in our playground out there. I'm thinking, dear Lord, our kids. And, you know, I had to step back away from that because it's just the signs up, but we have to say no alcohol on this property. Well, people will make sure and let you know, hey, I brought some alcohol right here. I'm setting it down where your kids play. And I got a little bit ill, and I thought, you know, I have to chuckle. That's just like Satan to throw a dart at you on Sunday morning, ain't it? That's how he works. You got to chuckle. I mean, you got to see, our enemy is not these people that come through here drunk. Our enemy is Satan, and all they need is Jesus, okay? But it's hard to mix up the lines sometimes. And how we handle that, and we'll see that as we get on over here. But our words are to be a blessing. This is to the outside. And then we go to the inside world where he says in verses 15 through 16 that we're to love one another. Look at the church, inside our church family. Because not only does this love, supernatural love, cause us to speak blessing, but it opens us to identify with others. Look at verses 15 and 16. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul's speaking about the church, and we've already talked about this, but it says, and if one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Paul's talking about the body, and we already talked about this in the other verses, that we're together, we're knit together. We weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice, what the Scripture said. Listen, can I be honest this morning? If we're perfectly honest, it's a lot easier to weep with somebody that's weeping, is it, than to rejoice when you see that person gets that raise. They get that promotion. How about they win that trip to Hawaii? Right? And you say, why didn't I do it? That's what, when you find ourselves saying, why couldn't it have been so-and-so? You know what that is? It's envy. And it's in every one of us if we're not careful. But the Scripture tells us to rejoice with those. When God blesses one of us, He blesses all of us. When we're all hurting, one's hurting, we're all hurting. That's how the body is to function, and that's what He's talking about here. He's talking about harmony. That's what He's talking about. Live in harmony. He's talking about unity, not uniformity. Living in accordance with God's Word brings out harmony. Living with God's will and God's purposes in the forefront. That's what brings harmony. This, living by this standard, one purpose. You know what? What that'll do, that love that we, when we understand our love for God and love others, our mission statement, love God, love others, well, it allows, love allows for differences. Why? Because of the greater purpose. He brought us together for a greater purpose. Not just our whims. Not for the things that we desire, but to bring glory to an almighty God through a Savior, Jesus Christ, that saved us and delivered us from our sin. That's the greater purpose of the whole. That's the greater purpose of the body. That's why we're together. You know, and love allows us to have these differences. We're different. Look around. We're different. We have different personalities, different gifts, different abilities. We're all different. But we're the same in that we have Christ. Those that have Christ are focused on one purpose, and that's to make much of Him in this journey we call life that's very short. Wow, what a great thing that God has done when He puts together the church. Different people from different places, different walks, different abilities, different looks. For one purpose, to bring Him glory, to live it out. That's harmony. He says, verse 16, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. He's talking about humility here within our body. And he's already mentioned this in verse 3. Remember when he says, do not think more highly of yourself or as you ought to think? It's really, he's talking about this pride and arrogance that we can have. There should never be any pride or arrogance in the family of God. Why? Hear me. Hear me well. There's no greater, no lesser right here. Everybody's important. Everybody's of high value before God and should be high value to us. Pride and arrogance is the greatest enemy of harmony. Always. Don't be proud. Don't be conceited is what he's saying. It's a killer of love and unity. And then he gives us this practical illustration when he says, be willing to associate with the humble or be willing to associate with the lowly is a better translation. And many, here's what many will think. They might not ever say it with the words of their mouth, but they'll say it with the actions of their life. Well, I just want to hang out with, they're the same age as I am. They got kids that are the same age. And that's all I want to hang out with. Why? Because that makes my little wheelhouse. I feel good there. The Scripture does not say it's all about you feeling good in your wheelhouse. It says that we are to associate with everybody, from the oldest to the least, man. No cliques in supernatural love. They're not clicking up and nobody can get in your little group. That shouldn't go on and never go on in God's house. We should be open to receive everybody. And so we got to understand when we think this way, you better ask yourself, is the greater good, am I thinking about Christ and His greater good, or am I thinking about my own wants and desires? That's fleshed out in your life. Your own wants and desires, if that's what comes first and foremost, and if that doesn't happen, you pout or get mad, that's a good indicator that the higher focus is not what you're focusing on. You're focusing on your own comfort. Hang out with everybody. It means, look, never clicking up. Be willing to associate with the lowly. Why? They have huge value in God's eyes. In fact, when I seen Jesus show up, who did he go to? Did he go to the religious elite? What did he do? He went to a bunch of old ragtag fishermen, didn't he? Bunch of old country guys. Probably singing Country Boy Can't Survive. I'm serious. Who did he go to? A bunch of fishermen. And what did he do? Turn the world upside down with 11 of them. Here we are today, 2016, 17, almost at 16. That's how fast it goes. July 16, 2017, because 11 men turned the world upside down. God didn't go to a spiritual leap, but he went to the lowly. And in fact, he poured himself into these guys and that people that probably wouldn't have had anything to do with it. Supernatural love causes us to speak blessing and opens us up to identify with others. But also, lastly, it enables us to overcome evil. Look at verses 17 through 21. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here, this is where it gets tough. He's back out again now, outside of the family of God. Now we're out living in the, out in our communities, out in our work world, out in our mission field. And he's saying here, this is where it gets really tough, okay? This is easy to say, but harder to do. Again, remember, Rome. Strongest city of all. Do you not think that they weren't persecuting them? They was full of paganism. This was a minority group. This was a small group of believers in a huge imperial city that was surrounded by a group of people that just soon kill them as put up with them. Persecution. And what's Paul going to tell them? What does Paul challenge them to do? First, I want you to see, don't repay evil for evil. Verse 17. That's repaying in kind. Tit for tat. You give it to me, I give it to you. That's the way, that's what America tells you, don't it? You stand up for yourself, son. He clobbers you, you clobber him. Well, we teach them from the time they're little. I want you to know something. Listen, this ain't politically correct. And let it go out on all the airways. That's the Muslim way. Yeah. Dave said it. That's the Muslim way. Get back. Strike back. You say something about Muhammad, make a cartoon, and they'll hunt them down, kill them, won't they? That's not the Christian way. The command of Jesus stands tall above all others. Christians are not to act that way. He gives us this negative. Don't repay evil for evil. But then he does positive. But Paul, a lot of times in his teaching, will give you a negative and he gives you a positive. Here's a positive. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You know what he's saying? Be morally right. Live with integrity out in your community. Don't say, I love Jesus and I go to South Fork Baptist Church and then take the Lord's name in vain in the next couple breaths. I work with guys like that. You ever work with guys like that? You might be one of them guys. Don't be one of them guys or gals. That's not God-honoring. That's not being a Christian. That's living by a higher standard. He says right here, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. It's living with integrity, and it brings glory to God. You know why? Because when people say, hey, you're such a good man, don't soak that in. You know what you say? No, I serve a good Savior. Let me tell you about Jesus. And then he says in verse 18, seek peace in your relationships. Now, look what it says. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. He's letting us know where, if you look, if it's not always going to be possible, okay? That's what the scripture, he's telling us here. If all possible, do that. Don't look for a fight. Don't fire off insults, is what he's saying, but I want you to understand, don't be a doormat. That ain't what it's saying either, okay? It's not saying be a doormat for somebody to steamroll over you. It's saying stand on what's right. Make a stand. The reason our world's in the way that it is because the church has just let the world steamroll over it. It's not willing to stay because it'll take these scriptures out of context and say, just let them steamroll over us. That's not what the scripture's saying. It said if all possible, do it, but there's a time to stand for what's right. Today is the day to stand for what's right. You live in a world that's quickly going down the toilet. Stand for what's right. You don't give in for what's right. And he says, don't repay for evil. But then in verse 19, don't take revenge. It's not our job. Whose is it? It's God's. He's in control of taking care of things, all right? It's not a vigilante. Old Charles Bronson in the 80s, and I'll date myself, he made a bunch of them Death Wish movies, didn't he? It was all about going out and getting even. Why did he make so many? People must have liked that awful good. Took the law in his own hands. There's something about that. We resonate with that. We like that. But listen, he says, don't take revenge on anybody. Back to positive, it says, but rather give place to wrath. The negative, don't take revenge, but the positive, but give place for wrath. What's it saying? Leave room for God. Allow him to work. Trust him. Sooner or later, he'll take care of it. Do you believe that? He says, vengeance is mine. You're not supposed to take care of repaying. I'll take care of that. Is exactly what he says. But we shouldn't say, God, just take care of them. See, then we're back to what? Really taking curses. We're blessed. We're saying, yeah, God, just get even with them. No, you say, Lord, you take care of it in your own way. And Lord, here's what you want to say. Save them, Lord. Save them for your glory. Save them and change their heart. Why? Because, Lord, if you save me and change me, you can change anybody. You ever pray that way for people that maybe you just don't like a whole lot? And then look at verse 20. Even goes a step further. It says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Give him what he needs, not what he deserves. Okay? Give him what he needs. He goes on, and this is supernatural love, by the way. This is the Jim Elliot, and this is really the Elizabeth Elliot kind of love, to go down and win people that killed your husband to the Lord. And he makes this statement, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on their heads. That's saying, now what? Lord, if I do this, I'm killing them with kindness. You're going to be smote by. No, he's saying it's really a shame thing that it's talking about. They'll be shamed by your goodness and your love and caring for them. Do you not think when she went back down in that village and she spent time with those very men and she told them about a Savior that could save them, that didn't shame them and they understood what love really was? They didn't have a word for forgiveness in their vocabulary. They didn't have a word for I'm sorry in their vocabulary. It wasn't even to be found. And yet they saw forgiveness in a woman that was willing to take her 2-year-old daughter down and tell them about a Savior that loved them. Superseded her own. She probably, can you imagine the hurt when you lost your husband, the father of your child, to this group? But it takes supernatural love to go and plant yourself and win them to the Lord. That's this, in so doing, it's heaping those cold. It's about shame. And I want to tell you, there's healing in shame. When you respond to and love to wrong, a lot of times people are shamed by that, and that's the first step to Christ. It's easy for us to say we love Jesus when everything's fine. But what about when it's our enemies and we love them? The greatest witness of Christ is when you stand in supernatural love and say, you know what? I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth about Christ. Lastly, he says, don't repay evil for evil, verse 17. Don't take revenge, verse 19. But lastly, don't be overcome by evil, verse 21. And what's he talking about? The instinct to fight back. We all know that instinct. When someone hurts us, we hurt them back. Evil for evil. And the truth of the matter is, the people that I love the most, I know where the hardest, the place I can strike the greatest blow. If we're not careful, as a people, even the people we love, we want to hurt. In a fight. Nobody wins those fights, by the way. Everybody loses. Especially our witness for Christ. But he says the positive. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is what it's all about. Supernatural love is doing what comes, not what comes natural, but what's supernatural in Christ. We're called to be one of the greatest witnesses the world can ever see. We overcome evil with good. It's a call of the cross. This is not an easy thing. There's nothing harder than to live the way of the cross in today's world. But our greatest example, again, was Christ. And what did it say in Romans 5:8? We've already studied that part. It says that God showed his love for us in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't that you were this good old boy or good old girl. You were a sinner spitting in the face of God, and Christ died for you. Sacrificial love that he gave for us. No greater call, no greater illustration than the cross and what he's did for us. You say, well, Pastor David, I don't have any enemies. I just don't have any enemies. And that's a great statement. It's a great statement to have. But how are you living this out at home? Oh, he's going to meddling now. Husband, can your wife say, he loves me supernaturally? He loves me supernaturally. He gives of himself. He sacrifices. He gives for me and the kids. Can your wife say that? Wives, can your husband say that she loves me supernaturally, or is it all about what she wants to do? It's always her. What she says or how she wants to do something. Supernatural love. It's played out. It's easy, see, when we say we don't have any enemies, but how's that love played out in our own homes and with our own kids? Our relationship plays out the call of the cross. Truly, it's truly how we live out our lives. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Linda, come play as we have our applications. And we'll be done. Number one, is there someone you need to make peace with? God's brought that person to your mind while we're talking. Now, whoever that enemy might be, is there somebody you just need to make peace with? You know what I've seen? I've seen people that brag about having a brother or sister that I ain't talked to in 20 years. I'd be ashamed. Life is too short. When you get to the end of your life, you'll wish that you wouldn't have been so stupid. Yeah, I said the S word, Sandy. I saw her go. How will you show supernatural love this week? What is your plan? How will you show that supernatural love? Number three, are you a person of peace or do you retaliate when you are hurt? Let's all stand to our feet. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're scratching your head this morning wondering, I don't even understand what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit of God said, you know what, I need that love in my life because it's not there. That's the Holy Spirit. Do not reject the Spirit's call. If you need salvation, you come right now. And don't hesitate. Why? Because I promise you, Satan will snatch that away from you being worried about what somebody thinks. What's somebody going to think about me? The main thing is, what is God going to think? If you've never received Christ, you come. Or how about that person that you know that's your enemy? You want to say, you know what? God showed me through His Word. You know, I just need to give supernatural love. Lord, help me. Because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. How will you show supernatural love this week? How's God speaking to you? Eyes closed. Ears listening. How's God spoken to you? Just a few moments. This is your invitation. If you need to come, lay something down at this altar. Here's your time to do it. If you need to receive Christ as your personal Savior, this is your time to do it. Don't hesitate. The doors won't be open long. What's God said to you? Thank you, Linda. Well, how are you going to live it out? Apparently, everybody's good. If that's the truth, then we all be turning this community upside down for Christ. If you receive Christ, you said, you know what, I've just not come forward. You can get saved right at your chair, right where you're at. All you have to do is say, Lord, I receive Christ in my personal life. If you do that, though, you'll let somebody know. How about your relationships? This week, are you husband? You going to show your wife true Christian love? How about you, wife? You going to show your husband true Christian love? Decision is ours. I love you. Don't forget tonight. 4:30 this evening. 4:30 we'll have a vacation Bible school meeting. Is that talking about? Does that mean I need to come? Yes, if you thought that, you do need to come. If you're a part of that vacation Bible school, okay? We're getting close to the launch. And so how about 6 o'clock Bible study, fellowship, Finger Foods fellowship? Well, you don't want to miss tonight. It'll be a great time of church family meeting. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, listen, you do it this week for His glory. Lead closes in prayer.